Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe.
All right, 402 on The Fan, hour three of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Here to 6 o'clock, Big Mike Francesa comes your way. Paul Rosenberg back in Manhattan. Ernie at home. Acosta producing the show. We're live, of course, from the Town Fair Tire studio. Nobody, nobody, and nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire. Absolutely nobody.
Our buddy Carl Banks is with us. Carl,
what's
how
up,
is
Carl?
The self-isolation
Hello,
going?
Man.
What's up?
Yeah, it's self-isolation it is, man. We're living in a movie right now.
Oh, man.
How you guys doing?
We're doing all right.
We're doing all right.
We're doing all right. We're surviving. We're doing our best to distract people, talk football, talk baseball, and we're doing it from our homes.
That's
most
the only
Americans.
Good thing about all this call is that I'm sitting here talking to you from home. Outside of that, everything else is not very good.
Well, I'm looking forward, Joe. I'm looking forward to the day where Bergen County will open the golf courses because, there's social distancing on golf courses. So I'm just waiting for that to happen.
Carl, you, I won't even go there because you know the end. You know what I think about that. So I'm just going to leave that alone.
Carl, what I've been doing over the last few weeks, and I think a lot of people have joined in, is watch old games. You know, just kind of harken back to games that I sort of remember, games that were before my time. You know, just
sure.
I've been all over the place. So last night, I watched a football game, Mr. Banks. I watched Super Bowl 25. I watched the New York football Giants defeat the Buffalo Bills, as you may recall. It was a very entertaining game to watch. And the reason I wanted to go back on this is at the time of this game, this was like my first football memory because at the time I'm 7 years old, right? 6 years old, seven, whatever I was at the time. And I remember watching it, but you know, all these years later, I have a different perspective on it. So my very first question to you about this game is how many times did you and maybe some of your teammates maybe fake an injury to try to slow down the pace at which Buffalo was playing? How often do you think that happened over the course of the game?
I would probably say maybe three or four times, max. I don't think there was a lot of it because we had a really good rotation. But I do remember it was a couple of times we had defensive backs kind of go down, and I think one of our defensive linemen went down. I think it was Eric Howard, I believe, that went down with kind of a little fake injury.
What about this game plan that Bill Belichick put together? Because unlike any other sport, you know, football is the sport where game plans can go into the Hall of Fame. You know, and I don't think anybody's going nuts about Nick Nurse's defense against the Warriors a couple of years ago, even though he did play a box and won. But what about what Bill pulled together to try to slow down? You know, Thurman Thomas had a huge game on the ground, but you know what? At the end of the day, they scored 19 points, and you guys just controlled the clock. I mean, you ate up the clock all day. But how about that game plan going into the Super Bowl victory against Buffalo?
I thought it was genius, to be honest with you, because we wanted to concede the run game to them, which is something that was unheard of for our defense. But, you know, when you know, people think I am anti-analytics, and our game plan was based on analytics that year in 1990, 1989. Analytics played a very major role in that because when Bill told us what our game plan was going to be is to allow Thurman Thomas to rush for 100 yards, he told us why. He says because they have not run the football outside of a draw from, I think he said, like week 9 to current date. Their outside runs were screen passes to Thurman Thomas. So he pretty much ran the numbers and says we have to do is take away the passing game. We've got to get people in places that we can see their receivers and hit them as soon as they get the ball. And when they don't have the ball, we need to rough them up going across the middle. So if they're giving the ball to Thurman Thomas, it plays into our hands. Now, if Marv Levy was a little smarter, he probably would have noticed what we were doing in the first half and given it to him more, and they probably win the game. But it was purely based on our ability to stop their pass game and their inability or unwillingness to commit to running the football.
Call two plays that jump out at me that were both made by the offense in this game. First one is Hostetler holding on to the ball when Bruce Smith sacks him in the end zone. And what should, you know, how he held on to the ball, and it was a safety where it could have very well been a touchdown if he fumbles it. And the other play is the Mark Ingram play on 3rd and 15, 3rd and 16, whatever it was, where he get, you know, I don't know how many guys he breaks tackles, gets away, and gets that huge first down for you guys. Two huge plays in the game. How about those plays in that game, Carl?
Well, the Hostetler thing was unbelievable. He even said it himself. He didn't even know if he was going to hold on to the football. I think he said he was semi-concussed prior to that play. So he didn't even know, but it was just – it was beautiful. I said semi-concussed. He was concussed. It was great, the fact that he held on to the ball, because that really pretty much – saved what we needed to get done and kept them from really getting the advantage in the game. And then the play by Mark Ingram, he was just on a joystick. I can watch that play over and over and over again.
It was
like he was in the playground playing street ball. It was just incredible the way he made guys miss.
And he, Jeff Hostetler, took a beating in this game. I mean, when you mention he was concussed, I mean, they showed on the broadcast Matt Kavanaugh warming up numerous times throughout that game. Was there a thought on the sideline that you were going to lose Hostetler at some point? Because throughout the game, he was taking a beating. Joe, I mean, it's a tremendous – watching the game, that was the number one thing that jumped out at me was, I don't know how the heck he held on to that football when Bruce Smith was taking him down in the end zone. And 17-3, 12-3, that's a huge difference. But did you think he was going to come out of that game? Because he was taking a beating throughout it.
I don't think he would have – he would have had to be out cold, literally, on his back because, I mean, we're in a different, you know, time in sports at that moment. Guys were willing to just, like, gut it out. If you could, like, get your bearings back right before, you know, you break the huddle, you were doing it. You were doing whatever you could to stay in the game. Guys weren't looking to come out of game. So unless Hostetler did not get to his feet, there was no question he was going to continue to play.
I tell you, one thing I noticed, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but boy, did you guys just shut down Andre Reed. I mean, he had a good start to the game. He's getting his numbers. He must have had one catch in the second half, and it was nondescript. I mean, his stats for the game look okay, but they all basically came in the first quarter. After that, he did nothing.
Yeah, I think that was a case of DWI. He didn't want it anymore. I mean, he was catching balls and taking punishment, and you know, we looked at the game prior to that against the Raiders, and he was just shredding them. He was catching the ball, and he was going untouched. And we wanted to make sure that, you know, with our defensive configuration, every time he caught the ball, he was getting punished. And even when he wasn't, we didn't want him to feel like he could run across the middle of our defense without getting hit or going through speed bumps.
Talking to Carl Banks, and we're reminiscing about Super Bowl 25, the 20-19 Giant win, wide right by Scott Norwood in January 1991. You know, the opening drive of the second half, which I think you guys had the ball for about 9 minutes or so, just controlled the ball, ran the ball down Buffalo's throat. I remember that play with O.J. Anderson, of course, eventually gets the MVP, where he's got that forearm shiver that he takes to Mark Kelso in that, and we're huge.
Yeah.
You know, classic play in that game. But how about that drive that when you guys just dominated that, you know, 9-minute third quarter drive? How about that call?
Again, it was about the will of the football team, Joe. I don't know. I mean, everything that we were running, it was nothing new. We just had to be better and out-physical those guys because they had a hell of a defense. Now, their defensive front was as good as anybody's because they had two good outside linebackers. They had two interior linemen and a defensive end that was all world. But it really came down to our mindset was that this is what we're going to do it regardless of who you line up. And they just did it. Our offensive line, you know, they just imposed their will. We had a big back who wanted to wear them down, and they were physical. You know, they weren't backing down, but our guys, we were just going to just continue to grind and grind and grind until we got our way. And that was the way our offense was set up. They practiced that way all week long. It was, we're going to impose our will on this defense. We can't let Bruce Smith or Cornelius Bennett or Daryl Talley, they cannot ruin the game for us. We've got to be physical with them as much as possible.
What were you thinking? And look, obviously this game, probably not rightfully so, but it is what it is. It's defined by Scott Norwood missing a field goal. And the truth is, it wasn't a 30-yard field goal. It was a 47-yard field goal. They even said it on the broadcast. He was attempting the longest field goal on grass he's ever attempted. And, you know, he flat out missed it. But what was your thought as that is transpiring? Bill uses a timeout to freeze him, and it apparently worked. And then, obviously, as the play is happening, what's going through your mind?
Well, listen, I think both teams fought to exhaustion. So I'm saying at that moment, I don't think he's going to make it. But if he does, hats off to him. Mm. But I think the more deciding play of that final drive was Sean Landetta's punt. Sean
started him at the 10.
If he's, 10 yards shorter with his punt or 15 yards shorter, not even a question of whether or not he's going to make that. So, and I think that play in and of itself gets overlooked. But that was, in essence, the play that really started our defensive stand because they were moving the ball. We got to stop where we needed to get one. But it was Sean Landetta that got that started because he pinned them down there at the 10.
You know, I was talking to Evan about this, too, because, you know, that game was the second of two back-to-back classic all-time games. I mean, when I think of the greatest games in NFL history, Carl, I think of that game and I think of the three-peat game the week before because there was no two-week break there that year because, I guess because of the Gulf War. I don't know if that's the reason why, but there was no two-week break that year. You guys went right from San Francisco to Tampa. And that three-peat game against the Niners, because Evan's looking for these classic games to watch. You got to watch that game.
That's next.
That game, I know the one was the Super Bowl and the one was the NFC title game. But that game against the Niners and, you know, and Leonard Marshall's hit on Joe Montana in that game.
Yeah.
And Eric Howard, I think, caused the fumble by Roger Craig that LT recovered to set up the game-winning drive, the fake punt in that game. Remember, Bill, I have to tell you, Bill runs that fake punt that I think was Gary Reasons ran it for a big first down in that game. That game is a game you got to see, too, because that was one of the
unbelievable
great games.
Game. Yep. Yeah, that was – if you had to win two games and you pulled out the first one, the odds were probably, they had the biggest game of their life. They're probably going to have a letdown in the Super Bowl. But that game was it was in its own little silo. That was like a fight that we needed to win. And, you know, pretty much Parcells set it up that way because when he walked into that meeting room with a suitcase and threw it on the floor and says, I'm not planning to come back after this 49ers game. I'm planning to go to Tampa. And anybody who's with me, you plan to do the same thing. Because that was a knockdown, drag out fight. And when you want to talk about the importance of special teams, you know, these kickers, look at we won that game on field goal.
Yeah, no touchdowns. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our kicker was just, we just had to bend but don't break, and our offense had to just keep getting good field position, but it was one of those games where that was a bare-knuckle fight where, you know, you're just going to black each other's eyes until somebody, you know, passed out. And we were just, our kickers were just phenomenal. Kickers
and
special teams, period. Yeah.
It's funny. We see this throughout football history, and you guys had this in 1990. The rematch in the postseason as opposed to the regular season game and the way things transpired. You lose to San Francisco in San Francisco
7-3.
On a Monday night, right, 7-3. Come back and get revenge on them in the title game, and you lose to Buffalo earlier that season.
And Sims got hurt in that game.
Right,
funny that game, Carl. I want to bring that game up to you because I went to it was a Saturday game. I'm at that game. I was with my buddy, my good buddy. I'll mention his name, Jimmy Amendola, big Giant fan. Took me to the game, Saturday game, and it was in an ice storm that game against Buffalo that you guys played. And Phil got hurt in that game. That's the game Phil got hurt, ended his season, and you guys did lose that game. I think Kelly got hurt in that game, too. How about that game, Carl?
Well, that was, you know, we didn't know a lot about Buffalo other than what we saw on TV.
Right.
And so we went into that game and, you know, we knew what to expect, but until you play them, you really didn't have a good gauge of it. And I think we played them well enough to understand in that loss what we needed to do to beat them again. And then, you know, they had a certain pattern about their K-gun offense, like I said, and the later it got into the year, the more predictable. Not that they were stoppable, but they were predictable in how they ran their offense, or more deliberate in the way they ran their offense. So we knew that if we could devise a plan, we could stick with them physically. We just needed a plan to stop them, and they came up with a great plan. But we were losing guys that whole year. I was out most of that year, too, with my wrist. So when we started, we lost a running back. We lost our quarterback. I was out. We had a few more injuries that year. But, you know, for some reason, we felt that we had a team, because the year before was the one we probably was a better team than the 1990 team.
Right.
So we had, you know, no matter what our win-loss record was, we knew if we could get into the playoffs, we were going to win a Super Bowl, because we had the pedigree, we had the mentality to just not be denied. And I think, you know, it showed all throughout our run up until the Super Bowl and even in the Super Bowl that no matter what the odds were, you know, we were going to find a way to persevere.
Even when Phil got hurt, though, you didn't even waver for a second when Phil went down, and you guys said, oh, my God, now we're losing our quarterback here with that.
It was just, I'll be honest with you, Joe. Number one, we had so much confidence in Jeff Hostetler because he was angry every week that he didn't get a chance to play, right?
Right.
You know, every chance he took the field in scout team or whatever, he would show us what he had. So there was no doubt in our mind that we had a guy we could win with, and it wasn't one of those guys where you say, okay, Hotch, just hold the rope and we'll do the rest. No, they could turn over the entire offense to him, and we had confidence that he would do it. So, yeah, we were bummed out that Phil was out. We were bummed out that we lost, who was it, Hampton that year. But we always knew that the next man up was prepared to go. And I think that was kind of a tribute to what Bill Parcells was as a coach, because he always challenged the guy behind you to be ready and be ready to go, not in a backup capacity, but he would create these in-game scenarios during the course of the year, and he'd take key players out and throw another guy in there and make him run the offense or defense, you know, full go. So it was always pressure to be prepared, and, you know, kind of a peer pressure thing too, where you couldn't let your guys down. So our guys were really prepared for that. But mentally, we just, I don't know, we had a different makeup. We just were not going to falter if we lost a guy. We would count on the next guy to come in.
Hey, and that season certainly proved it. We're talking to Carl Banks. I'm curious, especially as somebody that played in the league and was in so many big games, do you have a curiosity to go back and watch old games that you played in? Like, would you sit there? Are you curious at all to go back and watch one of your old games?
I've watched a few. Yeah, I'll go back. It's fun. It's fun watching, especially, you know, our 86 run and even our 89 run. It was fun to watch some of those games because we had some, you know, we went through a streak of knocking quarterbacks out every game. I don't think any quarterback finished a game. I think it was an 89. So it's fun to watch that stuff. Yeah, I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I'm having a great time. You know, as a sports fan, trying to just fill time.
Carl brings up that 89 team, and I think you guys were 12-4 that year. And, of course, that year ends with the Flipper Anderson game against the Rams. And watch that game because Parcells made a decision before halftime that I thought really, really hurt you guys. And rare that Bill made a mistake. He made a mistake here, I thought. I think he had Phil throw the ball, but you guys had the lead. If I'm not mistaken, you guys were leading before halftime, close game. Phil threw a pass, and I remember questioning that, man, why is he not just running the football here? I think he got picked off, and it set up a points for the Rams before halftime, if I'm not mistaken. But check that game out, too, the Flipper Anderson game in 89.
Oh, yeah. The next one on my list is the Niner-Giant game, the title game right before the Super Bowl.
That's one of the great games of all time.
Yeah, really, you're going to enjoy that.
No question.
You'll really enjoy that.
We're talking to Carl Banks. Now, the Giants have made a lot of moves here during this offseason, but coming into the offseason, in your mind, what was the biggest kind of hole you thought Dave Gettleman needed to address?
Well, it's kind of like a donut hole in the offensive line. You just got to keep trying to get guys there. So that's one area, and I just thought defensively, the back end of the defense from safety to linebacker, and they needed another corner with experience. So I think they addressed to a large degree that. But I also like the way they're building the team, kind of a foundation of special teams. You see some of these signings, and you had guys that were standout special teams players, guys that have re-signed with the team that were standout special teams players. So he's trying to, trying to build a complete team where you can have some balance on every phase of your football team.
Again, we're talking to the great Carl Banks. All right, who has a better year this year? While we're, Tom Brady with the Bucks or Belichick with the Patriots?
Yikes. This is going to be fun to watch because the decision to get rid of Brady or not to re-sign him was probably based on everything that you had to do to ensure his success. And it probably put a big burden on them financially and personnel-wise because he's not at the place where Brady is the great eraser. Now you've got to have a lot of things to cover up for what Brady isn't anymore. So he goes to another team. They're going to do whatever they need to do for him to have success. But if you're the Patriots, you're saying, well, I don't know if we can sustain if we have to do this, so let's just move on and try to do something different. I'm going to say that Brady will have success in that division probably a little more than the Patriots, but I'm not going to count the Patriots out yet, but you can see they've got some holes they got to fill. They lost a lot of players. None of that took them by surprise. As you know, they kind of see these things before we do. So I think they're going to fill the team, and they're going to be competitive. And I think they're going to be more competitive in the AFC East than most people think they are. But obviously, it's going to come down to who's calling the signals. But I think Tampa Bay will have a little more success than the Patriots this season.
If you were Bruce Arians, and look, Tampa Bay wasn't that far off last year. They won 7 games. They finished relatively strong. Winston turned the ball over way too much. Would you have done this if you were Arians? Would you have brought in Tom Brady, or would you have either kept Winston or maybe looked for a younger quarterback for the long term?
I think you do it because post-Brady, they got to find a quarterback anyway. Winston was wasting time. He's going to be a waste of time for the next 2 or 3 years, and you're going to give him, $25 million, and you'll give Brady 30, and you're going to get more. Your team's going to be better with Tom Brady. And there was only a few teams that could probably bring a Tom Brady in and not have to disrupt everything because you got to be ready to win, you got to have the money, and you've got to have a defense. And so Tampa has a defense. They have the money to bring Brady in, and they're going to do what they need to do. It's similar, not quite, but it's similar to what Denver did when they brought in Peyton Manning.
Right.
They had an all-world defense, right? So they go all in with Peyton Manning, and they get enough weapons on offense to cover up what he's not, right? And so now it's Peyton. Just don't screw it up. We'll give you what you need. I think that's the philosophy that Bruce Arians has with Tom Brady. Hey, Tom, we know you still got something. We're not going to ask you to be the eraser. We're going to make sure that you stay in the lines here and execute, because we'll give you all the toys you need to be successful, and our defense is going to play lights out for us.
We're talking to Carl Banks. Let me ask you this question. Go back to the Giants real quick. And I know it's tough because we're trying to evaluate guys that, you know, maybe we've seen play a couple of games or we've seen tape of, really. The Giants, I think to a lot of fans, say, go get me a big offensive lineman. And the Giants have a great chance to have the pick of the litter with where they're sitting in the draft. Are you more drawn in by getting the best lineman in the draft or getting a guy as versatile as Isaiah Simmons in the ability to line him up at linebacker, safety, the impact he could have on this defense? Where do you stand? Because I think that may turn out to be kind of the great Giant debate leading into the NFL draft in about a month.
Well, listen, if they get the right offensive lineman, I don't think anybody's going to be upset, considering that they've bolstered the defense. Obviously, there's no Isaiah Simmons currently on the Giants roster, but their holes have been filled. I don't know how deep those holes have been filled to, but they've been filled. But an offensive lineman who's going to be there for Daniel Jones for the next 7, 8, 10 years, if he's, you know, successful, is going to prove better than an Isaiah Simmons. And that's taking nothing away, because I want the Giants to draft Simmons if he's available.
Right.
But I will understand the logic if they took a lineman, just considering they did not leave the cupboard bare this offseason with their free agent selections on defense. Now, they did nothing on defense this offseason, and then they go and take a lineman, then you'll be screaming, why didn't they take Simmons? He's a guy. But I still would love them to take Simmons, but I get it. If they take a lineman, I understand the logic, because they did some things defensively and they have some young players that they're going to count on to develop in some roles. Now, none of them may not be Simmons, and we don't know what Simmons is going to be.
Right, right.
In the NFL, we know what his potential is, just like with any player coming out, obviously. But they've had a chance to evaluate some of their young players, guys like Ximenez and Carter. And so we'll see if they feel better about those guys coming into another year. And it's time for Carter to really take the next step. And then I don't know if Golden's going to be back. If Golden's back, that could help them a lot too. And it'll help justify not drafting a Simmons if he's there and you're getting the lineman of your choice. Because it's not often an NFL team gets the lineman of their choice. And I think they'll have their pick of offensive lineman just based on what's going to happen in the first three picks of this draft.
You know, with the all-new coaching staff in there and the chances that you're not going to have the OTAs and all that kind of, you know, preseason stuff going on, how much is that going to hurt them, Carl?
Well, here's the thing. They're all in it. Everybody, all 32 teams are in the same boat. New coaches, you know, if you've got your entire roster in camp, you start where you start, right? If you're, let's just say, a team like Dallas and Dak Prescott decides, hey, listen, I'm not coming in until it's time for me to sign, the very last day to sign my tender of my franchise tag, you start behind the eight ball. But every coach is pretty much starting on the same footing. And, you know, obviously if you're a new coach, you don't get the extra days anymore to kind of get your installation, the extra mini camps and things like that. But I think they're all in the same boat, so they just got to install and really get it going.
Carl, great talking to you, man. A lot of fun. Stay safe.
Man. Take care of yourself, Carl.
Good catching up.
Indeed. Both of you guys as well.
Thanks,
all right, man.
Carl Banks on the Giants of old, the Giants of new.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.